This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. After 9 long days of a teacher and service personnel work stoppage, it looks as if it's come to an end. As Liz McCormick reports, lawmakers agreed yesterday to a 5% pay raise for teachers, as well as a 5% pay increase for all public workers.
Thousands of teachers and other public employees erupted in cheers and tears as senators opened their chamber doors to announce approval of a bill that increases pay to teachers, school personnel, and state troopers by 5%. A 5% pay raise for all state employees was also agreed to in a conference committee Tuesday morning and will be managed in the state budgeting process. Lori Jarrett is a fifth grade teacher from Boone County. She says she cried when the vote came. I asked how she was feeling.
Tired, exhausted, so happy that we won and this is finally over and we can get back to our kids where we need to be.
Lawmakers have said there will be areas and services that will be cut, however, in order to give the promised pay raises. Emily Tansey, an eighth grade English teacher from Monongalia County, says that's something that concerns her.
I am nervous about the funding source because in the Senate Finance Committee, they mentioned maybe cuts to things like Medicaid, which is making me really anxious. But overall, I think it's a win for West Virginia.
Governor Jim Justice signed House Bill 4145, giving a 5% pay raise to teachers, school service personnel, and state troopers shortly after the vote was announced. It will go into effect on July 1st, 2018. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the Capitol.
Governor Jim Justice signed a bill that will give a 5% pay raise to teachers, service personnel, and state troopers. Following the signing, union leaders say they are readying teachers and other school workers to get back on the job. Dave Mistich has more.
Just before a morning meeting of a conference committee tasked to hash out the details of a bill calling for pay raises for teachers and service personnel, Governor Justice announced he had struck a deal that called for 5% raises for all state employees. Senate Republicans had remained skeptical about the state's fiscal ability to provide 5% raises, even just for school employees this year, after Justice announced last week that his office had increased revenue estimates for the upcoming fiscal year by $58 million. Senate Finance Chair Craig Blair explained that they wouldn't be using those updated revenue estimates for the school employee raises in House Bill 4145, and that raises for all other public employees would come through increases to personnel line items in the budget.
This pay raise just isn't for the teachers and the school service personnel. It's also for the state employees. 5% for all. We've also done this without increasing any taxes at all. Now, there's going to be some pain.
After House and Senate conferees signed off on the 5% raises for school workers, and once the bill unanimously cleared both chambers, crowds of teachers and service personnel gathered at the Capitol erupted into cheers, with many hugging those next to them. While the mood was unquestionably celebratory, Stacy Wallace, a Spanish teacher at George Washington Middle School in Putnam County, expressed concerns over the way the raises might affect public opinion.
We have fought long and hard for this. I am disappointed in Senator Blair's suggestion that the raise is coming out of Medicaid. I think that was an attempt to turn the public against us even more. The $58 million new money that's supposed to be there was not even considered in this budget. And I feel that there's more than enough money that will go around. And we did not need the kind of slap in the face with the $20 million coming from things like Medicaid, tourism, and commerce.
But the pain that Senator Blair spoke of will soon come into focus in the form of roughly $20 million in cuts to other government programs that would have seen increases this year, such as tourism and the State Commerce Department's Development Office. In a news conference following the passage of the bill, Senate President Mitch Carmichael also acknowledged that Medicaid funding would be part of that equation.
Well, Medicaid is always a part of the budgeting process, and so that we frequently move Medicaid money around within the context of the budget. And frankly, the budget that's being brought forth has Medicaid cuts to it. So there will be, additional areas of the budget that must be cut.
The statewide walkouts began February 22nd as teachers had originally called for a permanent fix to the state employee health care program, the Public Employees Insurance Agency. After the program's finance board agreed to freeze once proposed changes that would have increased costs for those in the plan, Governor Justice created a task force to study long-term solutions. The task force was part of an original deal with union leaders made last week.
That was West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Dave Mistich reporting from the Capitol. Governor Jim Justice signed a bill yesterday that gives teachers, school service personnel, and state troopers a 5% raise. House and Senate members who deliberated the measure in a conference committee prior to the passage also came to an agreement for a 5% raise across the board for all public employees that will be managed in the upcoming state budget. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, host Andrea Lanham spoke with Senate President Mitch Carmichael about the proceedings and where those raises will come from.
So we just heard from the governor saying absolutely that Medicaid would not be affected because of the pay raise, yet Republican leadership mentioned something different on the floor. What's the differences that we're looking at, and is Medicaid going to get cut?
Well, yes, Medicaid will be reduced, the actual line item budgeted. However, as the governor alluded to, and as all of us readily recognize, there will be cash balances that are available to supplement that should it be needed. At the end of last year, we actually had $173 million surplus in the Medicaid line item. So we're very comfortable with those reductions. However, I will say this, and the principle is the fact that when one area is raised, another area must be reduced. This is not an unlimited resource. It's a resource in which our financial condition must be allocated amongst unlimited needs. And so as we begin this process of budgeting and recognize that we want to value our public employees, absolutely. I mean, this strike was thrust upon us because of years and years and years and years of neglect. So this is a great day for West Virginia, frankly. This is a day in which we recognize that taxpayers of West Virginia have a seat at this table. We spent no more than we have. We live within our means, and we provided the largest pay increase to our teachers in over 28 years. So we're very happy. We had a lot of accolades afterwards, and not that that's why we do it. We do it for the purpose of living within our means and providing every resource we can to move the state forward.
Now, there is a lot of concerns with these cuts, though. Can you mention how big of a cut Medicaid could be facing?
Well, what we'll be budgeting is $10 million in reductions. Very manageable in terms of the entire Medicaid expenditure, which is in the billion range when you count, more than that when you count the federal match. And so, as I said, last year we had $173 million surplus at the end of the year. Medicaid services are being used less frequently in West Virginia because people are beginning to go back to work.
Now, what other revenue measures are going to be off the table? We've heard about the business inventory tax, intermediate course, community colleges.
Yeah, all those things have to go by the wayside. All those initiatives that we believe would improve the condition in West Virginia. The Community and Technical College bill was very important, passed the Senate 34-0. It didn't have, it had a $7 million price tag, but it will be sacrificed, as will the elimination of the personal property tax on business inventory and equipment, which is a job-killing tax. We all recognize it. But we won't be able to do that. The governor wanted additional money for tourism. And we will not be able to do that. And he wanted additional money for site development in the Commerce Department so that you could attract some different industries and so forth. And that will have to be jettisoned as well.
That was Senate President Mitch Carmichael speaking with the Legislature Today host Andrea Lanham. To hear or watch the full interview, visit our website, wvpublic.org. Public health officials in West Virginia are increasingly on the alert for outbreaks of diseases like HIV, hepatitis C, ever since the Centers for Disease Control released a study 2 years ago warning of the vulnerability of our region to the spread of these diseases. This increasing risk is due in part to the ongoing opioid epidemic. In this next part of our series called HIV in the Age of Opioids, we hear how funding for HIV prevention has been cut significantly for rural areas like West Virginia over the past 10 years. But as Roxy Todd reports, that could soon be changing.
Loud music pours out of a historic church in downtown Bluefield, West Virginia, around 7 on a Friday evening. 30 people are eating barbecue, beans, and chicken for a newly formed LGBTQ support group. As the guests grab their food and have a seat, a man stands inside the echoey church to talk.
Now, y'all got your goodie bags.
His name is Daryl Kennedy, and he isn't a preacher. He's the executive director of a nonprofit called South Central Educational Development, which has its headquarters inside this old church building. Tonight's event is aimed at adults, though there is one high school student in attendance. Kennedy passes around goodie bags full of condoms and information about how to prevent sexually transmitted diseases.
Read the information in them. It's good. We provided you with tons of condoms and lubrication. Safe sex is the best sex.
As you can hear, the atmosphere in the room is different from a doctor's office. People are laughing, singing along. One person, a drag queen, gets up to dance, and the room erupts in applause. Kennedy is hosting this meeting as a way to talk with the LGBTQ community about the increasing risk of hepatitis and HIV in southern West Virginia and other parts of Appalachia. The risks are increasing because of high rates of drug use combined with poor access to health care. On this night, Kennedy's organization is also hosting free HIV testing here in the church building.
And prevention is number one. I think you got to catch it before it starts. So if you're not doing anything preventative, when you have an outbreak, you can't say, how did that happen? You know how it happened. You didn't do anything to stop it.
Someone who agrees with Kennedy is Dr. Gordon Smith, a professor at the West Virginia University School of Public Health, who is studying the risk of an outbreak of HIV in southern West Virginia.
Unfortunately, because the testing is so poor, we could be right in the middle of it and we wouldn't even know it.
Smith's team received a $1 million grant last year from the Centers for Disease Control and the Appalachian Regional Commission to help increase surveillance and prevention of HIV and hepatitis C in southern West Virginia. The other lead researcher with the project is Dr. Judith Feinberg.
You know, ideally, it should have been done 5 years ago, because at the very least, you could have prevented HIV and you could have also curtailed the spread of hepatitis C.
Feinberg says her group plans on partnering with community-based organizations, like Kennedy's organization in Bluefield, to do more testing and outreach. Kennedy says he's on board with the partnership, but he's concerned that the WVU researchers are not going to fund his organization's efforts.
We're not staffed large enough to actively go out and address this head-on with the community as we used to do.
Kennedy used to do more HIV testing and prevention in southern West Virginia. But then, in 2009, his organization lost funding it had been getting from the Department of Health and Human Resources to do HIV prevention. It wasn't just his organization. About 10 years ago, the CDC began reducing funding for prevention and surveillance of HIV in states with a low number of people with the disease. States like West Virginia took some of the biggest cuts. One result has been the reduction of resources available for local community-based organizations like South Central, says Dr. Raul Gupta, commissioner of DHHR's Bureau for Public Health.
Since 2009, HIV prevention in West Virginia has seen a reduction of about $1 million from the CDC.
In a statement, the CDC said, quote, most funding is directed to the prevention activities that are most likely to have significant and lasting results on the HIV epidemic, end quote. But that strategy doesn't always work to prevent unexpected outbreaks.
It was actually a pretty big surprise when we heard about what was going on in Scott County.
This is Dr. John Brooks, a researcher with the CDC's Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. Back in 2015, Scott County, Indiana, an area that hadn't previously been a high-prevalence area, experienced a massive HIV outbreak.
We marshaled an enormous amount of resources to really better, not only to try and stop the outbreak from growing, and then to also better understand what happened there and how we can prevent it from happening elsewhere.
Brooks was one of the lead authors of a CDC study that concluded many of the nation's most vulnerable counties are in Appalachia. Now, in order to prevent more unexpected outbreaks, Burke says they're looking at shifting more of their funding back to rural communities because the opioid epidemic is creating a higher risk here. Next year, West Virginia will be receiving an 18% increase for HIV prevention and surveillance as part of a new effort by the CDC. It will be the first increase in funding for HIV prevention the state has seen in 10 years. Exactly how much this funding will trickle down to community-based organizations, though, is unknown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.